Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, open our hearts to receive from you. Lord, as we commit to you, direct us, guide us, lead us in everything, Lord God, that we need to receive from you. And we thank you, Father, that we can count on your divine wisdom and that you lead us and direct us in all things, Lord God, and that your Spirit flows through us. Gives us wisdom, understanding. And Lord God, everything you do with purpose. Help us, Lord God, to always see your purpose in everything. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I have an announcement to make tonight. Leadership already knows about this. All of those that are in places of authority, which includes most of y'all here tonight. and this is something that's been at least 2 years in the making. It's not something we decided overnight or just decided and didn't do it. But everything looks like I prayed. Everything that God does has purpose. And we want to get the maximum out of everything that God gives us. And one of the things that we can do is that we get set in patterns and we just follow things because of where we are and because of the way things used to be. I don't do this without some feelings about it, without some emotional feelings about it. But October the 30th, Sunday night, October the 30th, will be our last regular Sunday night service here at New Life. We're going to be having the Sunday morning service. We're going to be having a Wednesday night meeting. And after the first of the year, we're going to be setting in small group meetings. But for November and December, we will have the Sunday morning service and we will have the Wednesday night service. There's going to be some things that are going to rotate in, some things that are going to be body-oriented. I trust that you don't lose your walk with the Lord because we don't have Sunday night service. I think you're stronger than that. And like when we announced it or when we talked about it in the leadership meeting, one of the individuals in leadership said, well, you know, if you have to go to Sunday night service, there's plenty of places that have Sunday night services. And the body of Christ is the body of Christ. And what we want to do is to make sure that we get the most out of what God's given us. And you don't do anything just to be doing it. You know, just because you feel like you need to do it. You know, it's like people attending churches, certain churches, and they go to that church and they're not getting anything. They don't feel like they're receiving from from God, all that God has to offer. But they just keep going. Because why? Because that's what we're used to. And the thing about it is that we should really put ourselves in a position where we determine that we're going to be as much a part of the body of Christ as we can be. We're not just going to go to church. We're going to be part of the body of Christ. And we're going to fit in. What can I use Sunday night for other than coming to church? Maybe there's some people that you've been wanting to just fellowship with, to talk with, to allow a back and forth, like to get with them, just haven't had a chance. And there's a possibility there'll be small group meetings on Sunday night after the first of the year. But things are going to be different, and we're believing that the energy that we're redirecting is going to make much more of a difference in the future of New Life and the body of Christ here than just doing it the way we've always done it. But like I said, you know, this is not an easy thing for me to stand up here and say that, but I just feel like that's where the Lord has told us, you know, to redirect our energy. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We were there this morning. We're going to be there a little more tonight. I want us just to read this scripture. We're not going to spend a lot of time looking into it, but begin with verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, begin with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And ignorant means not knowing. Ignorant has nothing to do with your ability to learn or how smart you are. It's just the lack of knowing. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. In other words, whatever you were following, whatever kind of thing you were committing yourself to, when you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led, regardless of what gods you were serving. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's quite interesting. Now, what he's saying here is legitimate belief will be fostered through legitimate confession. No one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. In other words, anything that may call reproach upon Jesus Christ did not have its origin in God. And as far as I'm concerned, that's even things today where people say, well, you know, Jesus doesn't do this anymore. If people declare and preach that Jesus Christ doesn't heal today, what they are doing is they are speaking against the things of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God's not doing it. But on the flip side, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Wouldn't you think of anybody, give them a piece of paper, read this? And the piece of paper says, Jesus is Lord. And everybody says, Jesus is Lord. Nobody can say that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. They're not talking here just about saying something. They're talking about declaring something from your heart. Declaring the fact that there is something in you that makes the declaration that Jesus is the Lord of your life and you understand that He's the Lord of your life. And what Paul is saying here is you cannot make that statement simply because you decide to do it. The Spirit of God has to do something in your heart and change you in some way from your natural state of affairs until you've made a connection with God through the Holy Spirit. And then when you say, Jesus is Lord, it's because of something the Spirit of God has done in you. When Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed, Simon Peter, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. Now, how do you think the Father in heaven revealed that to Peter? Through the Holy Spirit. So when Peter declared, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he did it by the presence of the Spirit of God in his life because he'd made contact and he'd had a revelation. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit is that Spirit up in verse 3 that allows you to say that Jesus is Lord. And these gifts they're by the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Same Spirit, same Lord. Who's the Lord? Jesus. Spirit of God, Jesus Christ. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. Now, isn't it interesting that between verse 3 and verse 6, Paul got all of them in there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He included every one of them. The Spirit, the Lord, and the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. One Spirit. Now, I know that all of us have read that and we've looked at those nine gifts. But how many of us noticed how many times the expression, the same Spirit? The same Spirit. It all comes from one source, the same Spirit. Whatever you have in you, whatever I have in me, if it's of God, it has the same source. The problem with the Corinthians is that they were just really taking a lot of glory and really developing the gifts of the Spirit. And basically, if you read the whole thing, they're getting a little puffed up about it. And you know, over 40 years, I've been around a lot of ministries. And I met a lot of ministers. And I met a lot of Bible teachers and pastors and all. And there's some of them that you can just tell when you're with them that the main thing that they're promoting is themselves. I remember one in particular. And everything, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. And after a while, I wanted to just say, time out. Where was Jesus when all this was going on? What What did he do? Has he been doing anything, or have you been doing it all? You know, there's four passages of Scripture in the New Testament that deal specifically in detail about spiritual gifts. And we've already looked at a couple of them. The one of them is the one we looked at today from Romans chapter 12, and this is verses 3 through 8. So if you're making notes or whatever, keep that in mind and you go back and read it. I'm not going to go there. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, and then the one we just read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the first 11 verses, and then verses 28 to 31, and I use those in the bulletin this morning. And then there's a couple other places that we haven't talked about, but the next one is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And beginning in verse 11, verses 11 and 12. And we didn't talk about them today, but we've talked about them recently. And he himself, that is Jesus Christ, God himself, the Holy Spirit, all of them together, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what all of these are for. Not to have a place in, like on an honor roll, but as equipping stations, helping people. Not to be honored and worshiped, to be respected and be given their proper respect. But if they're not doing the people any good that they're ministering to, they're not fulfilling the position that God called them to be in. And you know, we say there's a fivefold ministry. You know, you could read it and make a case for the fact that there's only a fourfold ministry based upon the way it's written. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, that's two, some evangelists, that's three, and some pastors and teachers, four. But most people, when I break it apart, well, pastors and then there's teachers, pastors and teachers. But maybe pastors and teachers fall in the same category. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Four or five offices, let's call it five since that's what everybody says, a five-fold ministry. And the purpose of that is to equip the saints. And then the other place where the spiritual gifts are talked about is in 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As each one has received a gift. I said that this morning. Every one of us have some gifting. Minister it to one another. You got a gift? Minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's amazing how many times you read these things and grace has got a place in there. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He doesn't say as good stewards of the gift. He said as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. All of the things that we do by the Spirit, by the leading of the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, whether it's fruit, whether it's works, whether it's gifts, whatever we do by the Spirit of God, it should result in all things glorifying God through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ is the top, He's the heading, He's the middle, and He's the bottom line. And it's our responsibility, regardless of what we do, whatever we use, whatever ability God has given us, when we're finished, people may be impressed by us, they may respect us and honor us for what we can do or what we have done, but we have to always remember we're not there because of us. We're here because of Him. And everything that I do should be designed to make Him look good. And you know, when I live my life and do what I do with the effort to make Him look good, do you know what's going to happen? It's just an automatic thing. When I spend my energy making Him look good, at the appropriate time, He's going to make me look good. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, He will lift you up. But when you're out trying to promote yourself, trying to, you know, in pride or trying to feel like, you know, I need a spiritual gift so I'll be as good as so-and-so, God's saying, you don't need anything to be as good as so-and-so. You're already as good as they are, in my eyes. Now, spiritual gifts are those gifts given by the Spirit of God for, number one, accomplishment of God's purpose in the world. We need to somehow or another get back in line and get back a hold of the idea that the spiritual gifts of God are the thing that's going to impress the world. Talk doesn't impress the world. Why? Why is it that people are impressed by Islam? I don't think anybody's impressed with Islam because of the doctrine of it, because of the logical argument for it. It comes back to what Laverne said tonight. They get impressed by it because of the passion of the people they're involved in it. Now, we may not appreciate what their passion leads to, but you can't deny they're passionate. I mean, when you're willing to strap a bomb on yourself and blow up some of the infidels, that's passion about what you're doing. Misdirected, misguided. But where's that passion coming from? It's coming from a spirit. It's coming from the spirit of Antichrist. If you want to just back it up to the very beginning, might be some other spirits underneath it, but it's religious spirits. But we need to allow the Spirit of God to work in us so that we can accomplish the purpose of God in the world. And we need for it to be the Spirit of God and be decent and in order. And I hesitate to say this, but one of the things that I have seen is that when in the Christian movement, when there's too much enthusiasm, wrongly directed, when there's a tension called to it, it usually starts to get into areas that you say, that just doesn't feel right in my spirit. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. In the past 30-some years, I've seen it time and time again, where a zeal of something would in certain area, and they'd get excited about it, and it would become the central theme of what they were doing. And after a while, you realize that's not God. That's not God. And I think that because of that, sometimes there's a tendency for us to back off of the real thing because we don't want somebody thinking that we've gone a little silly. But there's movings of the Spirit of God that somebody's going to find silly. But without the gifts of the Spirit, we're not going to accomplish God's purpose in the world. And the other reason for the giftings of the Spirit is the edification of the church, the body of Christ. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what Jude says. And there are two things that I want you to remember concerning spiritual gifts. Number one, every believer has been given spiritual gifts. Every believer. If you feel like you've been left out, it's just because you haven't become aware of it yet. You're ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And you know, I can look at other people and I can watch them and I can say, Lord, why can't I do that? And He says, you can't. As a matter of fact, He can say, you have. And every member or every believer has spiritual gifts. And here's the other part, and this is the important part, and it will keep us from abusing our concept of the operation of spiritual gifts, and that is this: the gifts belong to God and are given for the believer to use for the glory of God. Can you think of one person that you've known that God used in the gifts, and you know He did, but at the time that God used them in the gifts, somewhere or another, the enemy came in and they got all puffed up about what they were doing. And they slipped and fell. Can you think of one person? I mean, I can think of more than one person. And I'm not saying it in judgment. I'm saying it as an admonition and a warning to us. We want the gifts of the Spirit to flow through us, but we want them to give glory to God. And I don't know how many people there are out there in the body of Christ that sit around and pout because they can't do what they see somebody else doing. And you know, when God uses us for something, we need to realize it's not just for our benefit. It's not just because He's wanting to give us something special. He's wanting to give us a responsibility. Now let me ask you something. We're a body. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all members, but we're all members individually. And we have different functions as different body members have functions. Now let me ask you something. If you're in a situation and your eyes are looking around to detect danger, they're looking for danger. They're looking for a threat to you. They are watching so that you can be protected. Here's my question: are the eyes only interested in themselves? As long as I stay out of harm's way, I don't care what happens to the fingers. That eye doesn't look down and see a snake there about 6 inches from your hand and then say, boy, I'm glad that's not down up here where I am. Or does he say, hand, get yourself out of the way. I have seen the threat to you. And the hand moves. And this may sound a little silly, but now how many times have you seen something like that? Spared yourself an injury, got your fingers out of the way of a chainsaw blade or a fallen limb. I mean, something you saw. And it protected you because you saw it. Your body was able to avoid injury. You didn't get a finger cut off. You didn't get a toe broke. You didn't get... nothing happened because your eye saw something. And upon seeing it, the brain told the body to respond to what the eye saw. And because of that, you go, boy, that was a close one, but we made it through all right. And then a few minutes later, you go blind. And you don't know what's wrong. Why am I blind? Why am I blind? You know there's something wrong with your eyes because you're blind. So you center on your eyes as being the problem. What's going on? And your eye answers you. Well, I don't think you showed enough appreciation for me saving the rest of your body, so I just decided I wasn't going to do no more. Y'all see what I'm saying? How many times is that temptation to come? You didn't appreciate me as much. You just didn't show the appreciation you need to show. So I'm just not going to see no more. That doesn't happen in the body, does it? And you didn't have to have a party for your eyes because they showed you what was going to happen and you avoided it. They just did it because that was their responsibility. And they were connected to the head. And the body, the fingers and toes and the rest of you is connected to the head. And when the eye sees something, warns the rest of the body. Well, if you were sitting here like this and all of a sudden you felt something over there on your hand, you looked around, there's a scorpion on it. Now let me ask you something. When that hand feels that scorpion, is the hand going to run off and leave the rest of the body there? If your eye sees a bear and he's coming towards you, and there's nothing between you and him but open space, is your eye going to say, I'm just going to close myself and I'll be all right? No, he says to the brain, I see danger. Got to do something. What should I do? The brain tells your feet, run. Now, when the feet are running, where are the eyes? They're going where the feet are going, and you know what they're doing? They're staying open so that they can keep the feet from hanging in something or running over something or... they're doing all they can to help. And when it's all over and you sit down, who's going to get the most credit? The eyes, the feet, the lungs saying, you better give me a lot of credit. You ain't got nowhere it hadn't been for me. But the whole thing is that they're all working together. They all have a gift. The lungs bringing in air. The feet's moving the body out of the way. And the eyes are watching where it's going. And in certain cases, the hand may pick up a stick, a club, or something. And decide, if you can't outrun him, I'm going to try to beat him to death. You know. And the hand don't criticize the feet while the feet's running from the bear. Now the hand might, like I said, the hand may get ready. Hey, if these feet don't make it, I got to have an alternate plan. If the feet can't do it, I got to find some way to help them out. And your vocal cords get in it too. You're going to scream him out of your way. I mean, the whole body works together with everything there is in it to avoid the threat. Doesn't look at it and say, I'm not going to do it. You do something. I'm not going to do something. You do something. I'm not going to run. You better find a club. I'm just going to sit here. It's up to you. No, let's all get in this thing together. Let's all use what we've been given to use, and let's use it for God's glory. That's the way we're going to be successful in the kingdom of God. Let's stand. Well, amen. Well, hallelujah. Hey, see, it's starting to have an effect, and we haven't even got it out of the leadership group yet. Does anybody know how the did she had some kind of surgery to? I know she had it. I just hadn't heard how she was doing because Emily had something on Facebook that she had come through it. Okay. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight wanting to rightfully divide the word of truth, wanting to properly understand our position in the body of Christ, wanting to realize, Lord God, that we don't just come to church and have church together. We are the church, and we are together. And whether we're in the same proximity or not, we are one in the body of Christ. We all have different functions, different giftings. And Lord God, as we bring those giftings together, we thank you, Father, for giving us the direction that we need to make those giftings flow. We thank you, Lord God, for helping us to take the best advantage of all the opportunities that we have to do things, Lord God, so that it's productive, not just so it uses up energy. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to show us and direct us in all of these areas as we minister. And as we, Lord God, look into the future, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for Marlon and Janice and their family. We've been asked to do. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to minister to them the grace of life. And that you're going to encourage them and strengthen them, Lord, in their walk with you. And they're going to be so solid in the body of Christ that they'll be able to accomplish your purpose for them. And I pray that, Lord God, for all of us. And I thank you, Lord, that your main concern about all of us is that we understand that we're part of you. And you're part of us, and you have a plan, and a purpose with gifts and callings on every one of us. Help us, Lord God, to discover what they are so that we can apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.